God's got amazing plans.
Never mind my hair.
God's okay with it. I have this picture of John the Baptist in the wilderness for 40 years. I just have him. He's in the wilderness for a long time, and he ate locusts and honey and clothed with camel's hair. Pretty sure he didn't have a comb. So it's okay. Now, what God told me actually to do, Dreads, because there's a stereotyping in the body of Christ that's from hell. Criticism and complaining and gossip is from the devil. It's not from God. And if we can't accept people and see the heart inside and have enough discernment to move past the trash and get to the gold, we'll never be the men and women of God that God's called us to be. Amen? That's a good word. Yay. Man, that's so good. Yeah. Woo. Man, thank you all for coming tonight. I'm really thankful that y'all came out and man, bless you. Just a little background on me. I was a drug addict for 22 years, and I was an atheist my whole life. And 4.5 years ago, Jesus came in and dropped the bomb in my life, and he told me to love me. And he cleaned me up. He said, now go represent me. People are going to be freaked out. It's amazing. So if any of you have sons or daughters that you're crying out for, I just want to lift them up right now. And any kind of relatives, like anybody in your family that's struggling with addiction, that is actually lost, that's not walking with God, we're going to claim them right now, and they're coming in. So, Lord, I just thank you for sons, daughters, nephews, nieces, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, God, in Jesus' name. Father, right now we claim them and command them to come into the kingdom. Right now, we remove the blinders. We remove them right now. Satan, he blinds the eyes of those lest they should see. Father, I thank you that they shall see. God, we just thank you in Jesus' name. We remove that right now. Right now. Lord, I just love you and give you glory, God. Jesus, you said whatever we ask in prayer, believing, we shall have it. We refuse to allow our experience to determine your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm so in love with God. It's amazing. I just am, because he just so loves me. He does. He does. He has a picture of me in his wallet. He does. It's so good. Gabriel, did you see Todd today? Yes, Lord, you showed him to me twice. Well, look at him again. He's my son. Come on, you need to think that way, guys. That's how God sees you. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It matters who God is. What you've been through doesn't determine the gospel. This is imperative. We have let our experience determine God's word. And actually... have made up, meaning well, have made up actually sermons. Hear me. Sermons at the cost of the Word of God to try to explain an experience. And I'm not being mean. I love you guys. We've got to get on with God. We've got to live for Jesus. We've got to live for Jesus, man. When I tell people that I was a drug addict and I was an atheist for 22 years, when I tell people that when I was 11, I was put in the Masonic homes, the Masons raised me, okay? When I tell people that, I get more of a response and a ooh and an ah than I do when I tell them that Jesus is Lord and sits on the throne. That's a real deal. What if I really believe that I'm a brand new creation? What if I really believe that? What if I really believe that the blood is enough? What if I really believe that when I ask God to forgive me, he not only forgives me, but forgets it? So if it's ever whispered again, it's never God. It's the voice of a stranger who I'm not going to follow. What if I live that way? Leave me alone and where I'm at, because I love Jesus. I'm free. See, this is the truth, and this is amazing, because we've, meaning well, we've made the gospel intellectual and psychological, and the gospel is supernatural. It's supernatural. It's not intellectual. It's just not. It's not psychological. It's not with a mind a man believes. It's with a heart. Because your heart will take you places your brain can't even squeeze through. Right? It's really true. And here's my picture of what happens is the Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God to my spirit. My spirit bubbles within me and starts to permeate my heart. My heart starts to grab the Word. The Word starts to come up and it starts to remove the strongholds that are in my mind to allow my mind to get renewed, because the salvation of my soul is what God wants. Mind, will, and emotions transformed back into the original reason He created me. He created me in His image. But because I've been through so much stuff, I got to get the stuff out of the way so I can let God be God. Christianity isn't just, it's the only thing out there where the living God comes in and places Himself inside of you. And the very nature, characteristics, and attributes of God become manifest in the Christian life. That's Christianity. That's supernatural. Well, I can be just like my daddy. He made me in His image. I refuse to make Him in mine. It's so imperative. It's so important, guys. I hope that if there's one thing, is anybody coming for the weekend? Or is everybody, a lot of people are just here tonight. Bless you for coming tonight. If there's one thing I can do, I want to stir you in hope. I want to stir you that there's so much more. We already know there's more. But because our life, we haven't always seen that. It's shaky, but it's real. God does amazing stuff. You know that video you saw? That's just a little piece of what God does. I love the video. I love it. But I love Jesus. I love the show, and I love people like getting touched. I love prophesying over people. I love God's heart for people. My favorite thing is the passionate heart of God for people. That there's a person in front of me that doesn't believe, and they don't believe that miracles are for today. And I say, well, just let me pray and let's find out. And then God touches them and heals them, and they are freaked out. But it gives them something to base their faith off of, rather than the debate if it doesn't happen. We have to be willing to be so far out there on the limb that it's going to break in order to live for God. It has to be like this, and we have to be on the end, almost down, in order to really believe God. If we don't place ourselves out on the limb, we build a kingdom that looks like us. It's such a good word. It's his kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. I'm not being, you guys are hearing me right, okay? I'm seeing some smiles. I'm not being smart and I'm not being arrogant. You have to understand, I know what I'm capable of. I destroyed thousands of lives. I was a drug addict for 22 years. I hurt everybody. I was an open freight train for the kingdom of hell. And God, by His mercy and grace, has allowed the very thing to destroy that tried to destroy me. He's allowed me by His mercy, filled me with His grace, filled me with His righteousness, taught me to first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness before anything else, because that's foundational in the kingdom. Jesus started people out there. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all this stuff will be added. But instead, we get ourselves into a place of worry where we constantly worry about this, worry about that, because things aren't going the way they're supposed to, but forgotten the foundational principle of the kingdom. Seek His kingdom first and His righteousness. It's the answer to all worry. When I was in, because I went to Teen Challenge for 2 months, I had a radical encounter with Jesus Christ. 2 months into the program, 3 nights in a row, and He set me free completely. You know what He set me free from? Me. That's the real deal. Jesus sets you free from you. Because we weren't just born into sin, guys. We weren't just born into sin. We were cultivated by the very enemy of God. Where we took on the mindset of God's enemy. where we live by rationale, and rationale and reasoning is an enemy of faith, right? So we live by our experience. We live by the way the world thought, and we thought that it was good, but there's a way that seems right to a man. But in the end, it leads to destruction, death, right? It's not good. So the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God, they're totally two different things. But unless we renew our mind and ask the Holy Spirit to breathe upon the word, we'll constantly live by the wisdom of man. And we'll rationally try to explain and understand the Bible. And it's not rational. So we went and chased this guy down to the frozen food section and talked to him. And he wouldn't let us pray for him. But it challenged me. God challenged me through my daughter. And then the Holy Spirit said to me later when I was praying, he said, you'll never see him grow out if you don't pray for him. It's really good. Our minds are so messed up when we see stuff that we like, it costs God's word at the cost of the word of God. Because our minds get in the way and get all messed up, scrambled. Man, I'm growing. By no means have I see everybody healed, but I see a whole lot. A whole lot. I don't know how many today. A lot. Yeah. Yay. Yeah. Yeah. It's so good. You get to prophesy over our waiter today and just share some truth with them. And oh, it's just good. Love people. But I'm going through the airport and I walk up and there's this guy playing the... First of all, I come off the airplane and there's all these news reporters standing there and I go, tell me that that's not for the God Squad thing. That's crazy. So I was very comforted when it wasn't. That makes me feel a little uneasy. Only because this, I do not want the body of Christ to get a perspective and say, well, he's a gifted one. I can't stand that. I preach and teach not on gifting, but on believer priesthood. If we teach on gifting, we limit ourselves. Because if we say that's that gifting and that's that one's gifting and that's that one, everybody's different, which is true. When we say that's theirs, we've now severed ourselves from that source of life for eternity. It's true. Well, I'm just not a healer. That's not me. I'm helps. Well, that's great. You're helps, but you're also a healer because Jesus said these signs will follow believers. Yeah, but it says in 1 Corinthians 12, hold on. That's for a setting. When we're in amongst a bunch of people, a bunch of the congregation, one's going to move more in this, one's going to move more in that, one's going to move more in that. It does not say this is the only thing that you can do. Did Jesus move in just the gift of healing? Did he move in just the word of knowledge? Did he move in just the gift of miracles? Did he move in just something? No, he didn't. Jesus was fully dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Everything he did fully dependent upon God. Because he couldn't do it of himself, because he said the Son can do nothing of himself. In John 5:19, he says what he does because he sees the Father do it. For what the Father does, the Son does in like manner. Right? So he saw Daddy doing it and did it. So now we say, well, you know, that's because Jesus had that relationship where he just saw what God was doing all the time. And we limit God. And we say, well, you know, I didn't feel led to that one. I tell people go out to like Bass Pro Shops, buy some lead sinkers, put them in your pocket, grab a hold of them and start praying. Feel led. You look around you and find one person that Jesus didn't pay a price for. You tell me who he didn't pay a price for, and then I'll agree that you shouldn't pray for him. We need to seriously challenge our thinking. Because honestly, he paid a price for everybody. Including the Muslims, the Hindus, the Sikhs, the witches. I love getting my hands on witches. I do. I love hugging on them. We're taught that we got to be careful. And you want to be really careful. You don't want to lay hands too hastily on people. Because it says that in the word. And well-meaning people have preached that you want to be careful about who you lay hands on. Because, hey, brother, you know, you just want to be careful. If you look at the context of Timothy, it's ordaining people into leadership. It's ordaining people into pastoral roles. It's bringing people on staff. It's actually making them a part in leadership in your church. You don't want to ordain them too quickly because if they fall, you partake in their sin. Yes. Has nothing to do with praying for the sick. Yes. Tell me one person Jesus went, ooh. Is this clear? It is, because it's God. He really wants to touch his people.
Well, we can't be in a fear mentality. If we think that greater is he on the outside than he that's in us, we're deceived, man. I don't care how dark it is. I need to shine brighter. What does Isaiah, 62 say? Isaiah 60. What is it? Here, let's do it. Yeah. I love it. How do you get out of that one? You can't. This word is cornering. Actually, it's Isaiah 60, but I do want to share something from. In Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you, and behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you. I tell people that unless the but is in God's word, it's a devil. Because people say, well, yeah, but at the cost of the word of God. That's real. Well, I know what God's word says, but you lost me. I'm just done when someone says that. Whoa, 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 whoa. God's word is truth. What I've gone through might be a fact, but God's word trumps it. If God said in Psalm 138 that he's magnified his word above his own name, God said that. You have magnified your word above your name, which means that God's here and his word is here. If God thought that highly of it, who am I to let an experience trump that? Do you know Satan? How did he get kicked out of heaven? He tried to magnify himself above God, exalt himself above God. Do you know that anytime you magnify an experience above the word of God, you're doing the same thing Satan did before he got kicked out? And you're not going to get kicked out, but understand what we're doing. It's never at the cost of the word of God. I'm not trying to be unsympathetic, because I've prayed for people and lost them. I've prayed for people to get up from the dead and they haven't. Okay, I go through the same stuff that you guys go through. I do. But I'm not going to back off. I'm going at this thing. If Jesus said greater things are going to happen in my life, who do I think I am to tell him that they're not? Well, that was Jesus. He was a man that walked with God. He did everything as a man, not as God. He was tempted at all points, and you can't tempt God. So that right there blows that he walked as God out of the picture. He was fully dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but Jesus was sinless. Exactly. How much sin does the blood of Jesus cover? Some or all? End of story, man. The sin issue's been dealt with. It's been dealt with. Know when Jesus said about, I have so many things to tell you, but you couldn't bear up under them right now? God revealed to me that it's character, holiness, blamelessness are legs that hold up the things that you can't bear up under. Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost gives you all those legs. It's really true. We all believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? Okay. I hope so. And tongues isn't the end of it. It's like when you get baptized in water, you're going to get wet. It's true, but hopefully something else happens too. So I'm walking through the mall past those reporters. I asked him, I said, well, who are you guys here for? Because they're lined up. One of the guys goes, Brad Pitt. I said, come on, man. And I guess it was the guy that was on the plane that made it or something. Fell in the huts. I didn't even hear. I don't watch the news on purpose. And I'm not trying to say you shouldn't. I'm just saying it's all bad news. When I become more consumed about the bad news than the good news, I'm in trouble. So I prefer to listen to good news and represent the gospel. Because in a situation like that, if you live from good news towards bad news, you're living from promise towards problem, and you have victory. But if you live from bad news towards good news, you live from problem towards promise, and you're in trouble. Because I'm not praying to God in a hopeless situation saying, God, please move. I'm praying to a God of covenant that honors his covenant. I'm praying to a God that magnifies his word above his own name. I'm praying to a God that said, if it doesn't exist in heaven, it's not supposed to exist here. I'm praying to the God that set this thing up for a kingdom priesthood of believers, a royal priesthood to represent him, destroying hell every second of the day. That's good news. That's so good. I walked on. There was a guy in the airport today. He's playing a whatever, really pretty saxophone or whatever it was. It wasn't a saxophone. Clarinet. Really good. Amazing jazz. Just really good. And I stood there and I listened to him. And like, I liked a guy named Kenny G. And just beautiful. This guy was like, he was trumping that. And I was like blown away. I just sat there and I was like, wow. And the guy at the table, he goes, hey, man, he goes, one CD's $20, two of them's $30. We were just on the David Letterman show, this, that, and the other thing. And I said, hold on, man. And I'm listening to him. He goes, he's good, isn't he? I said, he's amazing. And I went up to the guy and I said, hey, bud. I said, you're really, really talented. Do you know where your gift comes from? And he said, well, yeah. I said, well, man, I said, one of your CDs is named The Secret Place. I said, is it because of Psalm 91? Is it The Secret Place? And he said, well, if you want it to be. I said, whoa, hold on, man. Right? But see, he had an upbringing in the gospel. His mother raised him in the gospel. But the world has creeped in. And now he's an amazing, talented man at what he does, but walked away from God and is trying to do it on himself. And he's full of anxiety. He's full of, like, stress. And I said to the one guy behind the desk, because I had a word about his promoter guy that was selling the CDs. I said, you injured yourself in sports. He goes, yeah, I wrecked my back really bad. I said, man, one of your legs is short. He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, oh, yeah, yeah, dude. So I come back behind the table, and I said, come here, man, bring your chair over here. And I sat his chair right there, and I got his legs out, and one of his legs is like an inch short. So I said, come here, man, to the guy playing the instrument. And he comes over, and he's playing, do-do-do-do-do-do. I said, watch Jesus. Watch what he's going to do here. And prayed, and his leg came out. He's like, do-do-do-do-do-do. He goes, that's what's up. That's what he said. I said, you're right, man. That is what's up. Look, God has an amazing call in your life, and you're amazing, and you have such an amazing talent. And I started to tell him about soaking and what that music is actually. That's amazing. He goes, give him some CDs. So I said, man, I didn't want free CDs. He goes, no, I want to give them to you. Give him my cell number because I do need prayer. So here he's a record. He's on a label. And, like, I hooked up with him today and got to pray with him for stress to be removed. And the guy sitting at the table was freaked out because his leg grew out and his back got healed in the airport. And I walked off and said, you guys are awesome, man. God loves you. That's an encounter. That's a daily thing. That's an everyday thing. If I go to Walmart, am I more concerned about my shopping trip and getting it done quickly or the person that's walking by me that can hardly walk? We got to challenge ourselves, guys. We really do. You don't have to go through a 20-minute counseling session to see somebody made whole. There's time for that, and there's a time and a place for that. But when you're in Walmart or a restaurant or on the street, it's a drive-by shooting. Serious. And you have to be able to understand that it's God's goodness that brings somebody to repentance. It's not our theological standpoint. It's not our psychological evaluations. Psychology is good, and there's a good use for it. But I'm telling you this, that I've seen hundreds of people, and you know I'm boasting in him because there's no way that I can do any of this. It's so good. Hundreds of people that are angry, that are in unforgiveness, that are mad at the world, and that tell me flat out, I don't believe in that stuff. And I say, good, then you won't mind me praying for you. And they say, well, I don't believe in it. Well, put your money where your mouth is. Let's pray and find out. And they stand there mad, and God heals them. Regardless, I guess it didn't really upset God. Now, it's true that God wants their heart, but the goodness of God that flows through the vessel touches somebody and it brings their heart to repentance. What happened when Peter brought all those fish up on the boat? What happened when he was mean to Jesus? What did he do? Away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Why? Because the goodness of God brought him to repentance. That's amazing, guys. It's really good. I'm just rambling. I have no idea where I'm going. Oh, yeah. Yay. Yeah. Oh, gosh. You're amazing, God. Thank you. Let's see here. Where are we going to go, God? I've went a bunch of places, but go somewhere else here. Anyway. Are we okay? Good. Yeah, there's a lot. Get the CD because I'm rambling a lot, but there's stuff in it. It's stuff in it. God's smearing it. Anointing means smeared with, the one smeared with the Holy Ghost. So the word actually becomes spirit and life. Like when I listen to like Bill Johnson's stuff, I have to like stop the CD and say, oh my gosh, wow, that was good. And then I'll play it. Whoa, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Wow. And I'll go over it and over it and over it and over because it's got to get in me. Jesus was the Word made flesh. God wants to make our flesh the Word. And we don't really know the Word until we become the Word. So we can quote scripture verses all day long. But if you're not walking those verses out, it means nothing. And if you preach to a congregation and it's not being walked out in your life, you will be tested and you will be tried. Because Satan really wants to know if you really believe what you're preaching. Watch. You know why it's so easy for us? We have an understanding of salvation. We have an understanding that if you pray this prayer and confess in your heart, and you know, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. The word saved means sozo. It's the Greek word sozo. Saved, healed, delivered, protected, made whole, kept safe and sound. But because we translated it into King James, we could only take one English adjective to describe that word. So that's how we made it up. But if we really, really look at the word, it doesn't even mean going to heaven. Heaven is not our mission. Heaven is our destination. Destroying the kingdom of darkness is our mission. That's the real deal, man. Watch this. If our mission was just getting born again, as soon as you prayed the prayer, you'd have disappeared. Poof. Oh, he prayed the prayer. That's a good word. But because of our evangelical zeal, what's happened is we've made it all about that one thing. And the Lord's Prayer has only been in for about 100 years. It has. The Lord's Prayer. Not the Lord's Prayer, but the prayer of salvation. You know what I mean? The salvation prayer. Sorry, the Lord's Prayer has been around. Sorry, that was wrong. And actually, the Lord's Prayer isn't even Our Father who art in heaven. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. Yeah, I love that. It's so good. It is. Do you know how much fun this is? I told this guy, Bob Haslett, who's like a prophet friend of mine. He's amazing. Do you know who Bob? Anybody know who Bob is? He's really clear. His perspective's really clear, and he actually wants to take it to the streets all the time. That's what we've partnered in this, and I'll talk about this in just a second. But I told Bob, I said, this is amazing. I get to go. See, I depend fully upon God because this is what I do full time. It started with a prophecy from Patricia King last January where she prophesied over my life, and I had no idea. God had told me to actually leave my job 2 weeks before that. Patricia prophesied, and within a week, I was in full time. So I depend upon God. It's a faith walk, man. I mean, I'm pretty sure that all y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it is. But it's. I said to Bob, I said, this is so amazing. I get to walk out the gospel, share with people the reality that's in my life, and this is what I do for a living. He goes, don't tell anybody. But it's the truth. And God said, I'm raising you up to kick people out of the boat. Before Peter's shadow healed people, he had to get out of the boat. There's a process, man. There's a walking this thing out. There's a not allowing your past experience to determine tomorrow's victory. We're not living towards victory. We're living from it. It's already been won. We're enforcing it. And there's forward advancement. There's no retreat. Jesus didn't know any retreat. He set himself like that and went. That's what we're to do. The kingdom is forcefully advancing. You don't have armor on your back because you turn around, you're done. You got to go forward. It is. It's a war, man. It's a fight. It's not the walk of faith. It's not the retreat of faith. It's the fight of faith. When's the last time you fought somebody like this? You can't. You've got to believe God. You've got to trust God. You've got to live from victory, and you've got to go at this thing. I go through all kinds of stuff. My life is not like perfect. We go through stuff. We do. I refuse to allow what I go through to determine his word. I won't do it. Have I lost people? Have I prayed? Absolutely. Absolutely. Does it feel good? No. You know what it does? It actually makes me stronger. Because I won't turn away. I won't bow down. I am going to stomp hell every day of my life. God brought me up out of that place. I'm no longer in that place. And it's God's heart to activate the people. Okay, now I have something.
Now we'll start the message. No,
go to Isaiah. If you brought your Bible. Isaiah 64. Actually, Isaiah 62. And then,
wait. It's all my favorite. It's so good. It's all so good. Amen. Amen. Man, I love you guys. Thank you for coming out tonight. You know, I told her, I said, you know what? Even though my life depends upon faith, I would come here for nothing if one person got a hold of it. Because it's God's heart. And if I can multiply what he's done in my heart. That's why I told him, man, if only one gets it. Because if I set my sights on everybody getting it, if I set my sights on something that unless it's attained, I didn't have victory, I'm in trouble. But if I believe that there's a sowing and a watering process, and that if one gets it, it's worth it. There was a man named Dan that touched my life in the beginning. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people have been touched because of that one touch. And that's just with one. And no telling what happened with the ripple effect. I hope I get to see it. I do. In Isaiah 62, God told me this. He said, here's what I'm going to do with you. You're going to spend time with me. You're going to learn who I am in you and who you are in me. See, who we are in him allows us to die to us. Who he is in us allows us to live for him. That's why it's so important that those two things get established in our life. It's Paul said, I've labored as in childbirth until Christ be formed in you. He said, ever since I heard you prayed the prayer, I haven't stopped praying for you. We've got this thing where we want to go and get someone to pray the prayer, and we move on to the next one to get numbers. Stop. There's a discipleship thing that's real important to God. He never said, go be confessing Christians. He said, disciples. There's a definition of a disciple if you go to Luke 14 and you go into there, and it's crazy. It's a lot different than ours. It's becoming ours. Go through, in Isaiah 62:10, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highways, take out the stones, and lift a banner for the peoples. And God said to me,
I am raising you up to raise the standard. To raise the bar. To take out the stones. What are stones? Stones are stumbling blocks that are in our way from enabling us to live for God. And if we keep on stumbling, we'll never be able to. They need to become stepping stones so that we can do it. There's so many mindsets that are out there. Here's one aside from the laying hands on hastily. We teach people that if someone's in unforgiveness, they can't be healed. Now watch. It's a teaching, and I'm not against teachers. I love them. I love it. Here's the issue. Jesus came on the scene. John the Baptist was the first voice from God. There was a 400-year period where there was no voice from God. Jesus comes on the scene, and he healed everyone that came to him. Every time, all the time. Do you think that since there wasn't a voice from God in a 400-year period, that maybe somebody might have been in bitterness or unforgiveness? Maybe. One or two. But because we've made it a formula, we want to take people through a place where they have to get that out in order for God to move. And I've seen hundreds of people get healed and then all of a sudden confess where their heart's at after they get made whole. So it's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance. I'm not saying it's wrong to get somebody to forgive because it's imperative. What I'm saying is if we try to do it intellectually instead of supernaturally, we might miss God. Does that make sense? I'm not being mean. You're not hearing me as throwing stones or anything like that. No way, man. Look, it's totally God's heart to be in forgiveness constantly. It's totally God's heart to be never in unforgiveness. God says, forgive others just as I've forgiven you. Unless you forgive, I won't forgive you. But what if they've never had an experience with God? And what if you touch them and it's so much in their life that they're like, my whole life has been a lie. Oh my gosh, it's real. God, forgive me. And through that repentance and through that goodness of God, they actually look and forgive all the people in their life that have trashed their life. That's what happened in my life. I didn't forgive all those people. And I hurt a lot of people, but then it was weird because I hurt them, and psychologically, because I was a drug addict, they hurt me. But that's not how it was. I hurt them first, and it's just a hurting war, crazy stuff. But when God touched me, immediately everyone, I never went through any kind of psychological counseling. I dared to believe that God's word was amazingly true, and that when that word came in, it removed the strongholds that were up here. And now God became the stronghold. Because unless a stronger one comes in and removes the armor, let's talk about that one a little. We've heard and been taught and that certain things have to, certain formulas have to be there. And this is the way it is, and this is the way it is, and this is the way it is, and this is the way it is. There are people out there who I'm sure you've encountered them. They don't believe that miracles are for today. Because somewhere in the line of pastoral history, a pastor might have prayed for somebody and the person died, which doesn't feel good. So now at the cost of God's word, since they're the man of God, they teach from a pulpit that God doesn't do that today to generations. And now they tell their friends that that's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. It becomes a mindset and a stronghold. What removes that? Debating? Never. A move of God that brings them to repentance. So what's it going to take? It's going to take us to actually believe who we're from, where we're from, who lives in us, what we represent, and actually believe in God and touching that thing and having it bow before Jesus, because everything bows before Jesus. This is challenging. Challenges me. It enables me never to depend on me. It enables me never to depend on the wisdom that I can think up. It enables me to be such a relationship with God that I can actually have the Holy Spirit speak to me in a situation to destroy hell, because I know that I have to be fully dependent upon God. Why did Jesus tell them, take nothing with you when you go on this journey? You're going to go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Don't take anything with you. Don't take two coats. Don't take anything. Why? Because he knew that in order for them to succeed in the midst of ravenous wolves, is 100% submission to the revealed will of God in every situation. It's called abandonment to self, dying to self to live for him. That's why he required a complete abandonment of everything that you could do in the natural and full dependency upon God. Why do I see people get healed? Because if God doesn't show up, I'm done. That's really true. Why do I see so many people healed? Not because I'm some amazing man of God. I'm a believer. That's all I am, guys. I'm nobody special. I'm special to God, but I'm nobody special above anybody else. I'm a man of God that has a vision and a passion in my heart to destroy hell because God says we can. And I dare to believe that he's true. And every man be a liar. Does that make sense? And my heart is to get people out of the boat. Removing the stones. God said, I'm raising you up to kick people out of the boat. With a soft shoe. Okay, while I'm talking about, what time is it? I don't even know. I don't do well. Okay, because I don't do good with time. There's no time clocks in heaven, and it's supposed to be on earth the same. So, yeah, it's not good. It's actually okay when you're not on a Thursday night and have everybody has to go to work in the morning. Okay, yeah. Our heart is to get people out of the boat. How many pastors are in here? Pastors, and everybody's pastors, leaders, right? Okay, so y'all have, how many churches are we representing? How many churches are here? How many churches do we think? How many different buildings? How many different congregations? That's good. I have a shirt that says, don't go to church on the front, and on the back it says, be the church. Because we are the church, and I understand that. How many different congregations are represented? Possibly. Okay. Who here at the meeting wants to honestly see revival break out in their church, in their building? That's God. He's for that. That was the Holy Spirit.
I am.
I don't mind cell phones. It's all good. That's right. But watch. Watch. One person can do it, but if one can set, then two can set. What can a whole 20 congregations do? We have to get on the same page. Okay, we're doing conferences. They're called Power and Love Conferences. There's a man by the name of Tom Rotola that was the president of Global Awakening and actually worked for Randy for 7 years, I believe. And Tom is an amazing man of God, and I love him so much. We're doing conferences called Power and Love Conferences. Now, these conferences are, so far, they're building steam, and the transformation is amazing in what they're doing, but what we're finding is that not many people sign up for them. See, I can bring the greatest anointed speakers in and tell you that you're going to come for 3 or 4 days, and you're going to hear an amazing preaching, and people will come because they want to get filled up. If you tell those same people that the same speakers are coming and they're going to have to actually put legs to their faith, you will have like a 20th of the people show up. And that's the truth, because we have a fear mentality in the body of Christ. If you want to see your congregation get past the fear mentality, I promise you that I have a sure fail-safe. If you come to these conferences, I promise you that you will see God move through your hands and everybody that you bring. Everyone. What we do is we start out like on a Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. We come, we have worship, we do a service till 11 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, we break and we go out on the street to do it. We don't go out to do ministry, we go out to live for God. So what we do is we establish in the people that come a normal Christian day. So what we're not doing is going out and saying, okay, where are we going to go and pray for people? We say, stop. What do you guys want to do? I want to go to the mall. I want to go to the restaurant. I want to go here. I want to go. Okay, let's go. And then we just let God move wherever we go. So it establishes a normalcy, because what we don't want to do is get in a pattern of outreach. Because if we get in a pattern of outreach, we turn it off when we come back. But if we get into a Christian pattern of kingdom, everywhere we go, we will live for Jesus. This is what we're doing. We do that from 11 o'clock to, we go out in the street from 11 o'clock to 2 with lunch in there. You go out to lunch, you go out and you come back at 2 o'clock. We do another session for like an hour and a half. We go back out like 4 o'clock from 4 to 7. We come back in for a 7 o'clock service, worship. We teach. It's like an open service at night. Next morning, same thing, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And before you know it, at the end of the conferences, I promise you, you will be a Holy Ghost monster. This is what we're seeing. It's like, and the fruit is remaining at the places that we've been. That's amazing, because God's into fruit that remains. It's God's will that we bear fruit. Much fruit. Mucho fruit. Mega fruit, right? But it's God's will that fruit remains. So what we've done is we're going back, we've called back and talked to people, we've had people come back to the conferences after they've been to one before, and their life has completely changed. Where in the beginning, I'll ask, who here is afraid to do this? And we'll get everyone raising their hands. And I take the most scared of people with me. I just love taking them out. Because all they need to do is see it's a whole lot simpler than what we've made it. And then all of a sudden, they become like the greatest weapon of righteousness to destroy hell. And I promise you, it works. It really does. So what we're doing is finding places to have these things. Someone needs to host it, like possibly at a church. We need people that are together on the same page. We want to be like-minded. We want to be like-minded. Remember the Tower of Babel? Remember when they were all like thinking the same thing? God had to come down and mess it up, because nothing would be denied of these people. And they were doing darkness. What would happen if we agreed with all the times Paul said, be of like-minded, be of the same mind, have this mind in you? Amen. Nothing will be denied. So we've got to get together. If you really want to take Jacksonville and you're really serious about it, I would totally encourage you to go to powerandlove.org, get a hold of Tom Rotola, just talk to him. They're not like a seriously expensive conference. There's a registration fee, but I promise you this. It will cost you more to go to work than it will to come to these conferences. And that's the honest truth, really. So power and love, please remember that, okay? Because I've committed, Dan's committed, and Bob's committed to doing every Power and Love conference. It has the number one priority God's put on my heart, because it's actually teaching the church to not only hear about it, but do it. And if you really want to have your congregation turned upside down, you have to have some doers. Right? Okay. Yeah. I would like to just worship him a little bit. Would you guys be okay with that? I don't have a guitar, but I have a big mouth, so. Yeah.
Good?
Yeah. Well, Lord, we just worship you. We just praise you, God. We just thank you, Lord, for your amazingness. God, you are beautiful. You are lovely. Father, I thank you that we need to be fully and completely dependent upon you for everything we do. God, I just ask you, Lord God, to permeate us, God, constantly change our mind. Lord Jesus, I just worship you. Father, I thank you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my Jesus, you are amazing to me. You are everything. Holy Lord, you are everything. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. We want to give you what you paid for. We want to give you what you paid for. You didn't pay just to get us to heaven. You paid to get heaven into us. We want to give you what you paid for. Not because we have to, but because we get to. Not because we have to, but we get to. Holy, 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You're amazing, you're amazing, and you made us just like you. You're amazing, and your word is true. Holy Lord, you are everything we've been looking for. Oh, my Jesus, come and saturate us. Oh, my Jesus, come and dominate us. Oh, we'll live for you. Transform us, Holy Lord. Transform us, Holy Lord. Oh, holy. Holy Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, we just welcome you, God. We just worship you, Father. We worship you, Jesus. We give you glory and honor, God. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for you going through the room right now and healing people, God, in Jesus' name. Knees, we command you be made whole right now in Jesus' name. Every arthritic knee, I command you bow right now in Jesus' name. Right now, Father, thank you for brand new cartilage, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Right rotator cuff, I command you right now, loose them in Jesus' name. Right now, shoulder be healed right now in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Sciatic nerve right now, I command you let go in Jesus' name. Right now, in Jesus' name, if any of that stuff was you, start moving around and check your body right now. Lord, we Jesus, we love you. We praise you, my God. We worship you. We love you. We worship you. We worship you. We love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, God. Holy. Holy, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Right ear, right ear. Whose right ear is having trouble right now? There's a right ear in the place. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. If you have problems with your right ear, I'd like you to put your hand on it right now. Father, in Jesus' name, right now, we command those right ears to be healed in Jesus' name. Ears open right now. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name, Lord God. Right now, Lord, I thank you that the nerves, God, that the nerves would be completely restored right now. Father, thank you. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you in Jesus' name right now. Ears open right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, holy, holy, Holy. Everybody that has a back issue, I need you to stand up right now. Holy. Holy. And if you don't want to stand up because you just don't want to confess it, stand up because you're supposed to ask for prayer if you're sick. Father, thank you. Holy. People that are around them, I need you to go to them. Whoever's standing right now, get around them. Raise your hand up in the air until someone gets around you. We're a priesthood. We're a believer priesthood. We need the body of Christ activated. Come on, Lord. We just welcome you in Jesus' name. Who here, does anybody know that they positively have a short leg? Does anybody know? If you do, wave your arm. If you know that you have a short leg. You do? Oh. Can you sit right here? Pray for them and command them back to be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Has everybody seen a short leg grow out? Has everybody seen it? No? Come here. This will be good. Yay, God. Amen. Yeah. If you're sick, if you need prayer for anything, I need you to stand up right now and hold an arm up until someone gets to you. I want them to find out what's wrong with you. Command what's going on right now in Jesus' name to come out. Please find somebody that has their arm up. Okay, can you kneel down in front of her and get her feet? Are you okay with feet? Okay. All right, I need you to take your toes and put them together like this. Okay, you're going to have to, this one's the short one. Okay, see that? So here's what we're going to do. You just say left leg in Jesus' name. Get out here right now. Grow. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. What are you feeling in there? Yeah. It's real. You've got to really catch it because it's really quick. I need you to stand up and walk. You see how that you're doing? Can you stand up and walk and see? Because that throws a back out too, like a lot. What are you feeling right now? There's no, you don't have any kind of pressure. You didn't have any pressure though. It was just the once in a while it gives you a problem. People that are standing up, I need you guys to be the body of Christ and help us pray. Please help us pray. Find out whoever needs prayer. Did you see it's so subtle? It just comes right out. Yeah. And I just keep hearing neck. There's like 5 people with neck problems in here. 5. Man. Yeah. You get headaches, constant headaches from them? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Jesus. If you're doing good, if your body's being healed, I would tell you to get someone else and help pray, please. Freely you've received, you give it away because that's what God's into. Hey, buddy. Is it a herniated disc in your neck? Is it a pinched nerve in your neck? Does it go down your hand? Does it go down through your arm at all? Okay, yeah, just, it's real simple. When you pray, this is how I know to pray, and everybody has their way, but don't make it a long prayer. Don't try to quote scripture. When we quote scripture, it actually shows us that we're in a place where we need to build faith in order to pray. But Jesus commanded the mountain to move. He spoke to the mountain, and the mountain moved. So when you're praying for a neck or a back, say, in Jesus' name, back, I command you be made whole. Simple, quick, direct, bang, instead of a building up to it. I know it sounds funny. Be aggressive. It's the kingdom. You're allowed to. It's good. Yeah. So can somebody put their hand on her neck and just say, in Jesus' name, neck, we command you be made whole. Let her go. Move your neck around. It's okay. Hit it again. Just keep getting it. Did you jar your neck? You don't even know. You got a headache too? Okay, that's okay. Just put your hand on her neck and just keep doing the same thing. Spirit of infirmity, I curse you and command you, let her go right now. In Jesus' name, get out. Right now, let her go. Yay. Move your neck around. Still have tightness? What about your head? It's okay. Don't stop praying. We're going to hit this thing. It's got to go, okay? Yeah. Just this is where we give up. What we do is we pray once, and then we're told that if we pray more than once, we're not in faith, and that's just trash. Be persistent and command it to go. Be aggressive in Jesus' name. Neck, we command you be made whole right now in Jesus' name. Let her go in Jesus' name. We command you loose her right now. Father, thank you from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And I went to, I applied to go on leave, and they told me I couldn't go home, so I went anyway because they didn't let me. And I went home, and I went home and actually stole a bunch of money and took my friends and drove out to Colorado and took a bunch of drugs and money with us, and we went out there, and we worked as ski bums in Summit County in Colorado. And then one day I got pulled over by a police officer. We had open beers and underaged everybody and all kinds of paraphernalia in the car. And the police officer pulled us over and just came up to the car, and he took my license and went back. And five cop cars were there because I was AWOL. You know, it's a crazy Marine guy, AWOL, with drugs and alcohol in the car. Had 9 millimeters at my head. They extradited me back to Camp Lejeune. I got thrown in the brig. I was in there for a while. I got out of there and got on base. I was awaiting orders. They wouldn't let me go home, so I went home anyway again. They brought me back again, throw me back in the brig again, and then I got discharged. I got a bad conduct discharge out of there. I came out of there, and I was a drug addict really bad and actually was dealing. And I was in – oh, then they finally caught up with me. The money I stole actually caught up, so I went to jail. And – it was so weird because I'm living this lifestyle of crazy ridiculousness thinking that that was truth. So weird. The weirdest part about drug addiction is you're deceived. And the weirdest part about deception is you're deceived. So you don't know you're deceived. It is what it is, really. And when people around you are telling you that you're going to hell if you don't change your ways, it doesn't help you. It actually like makes you walk way far away from God. So I met a girl and actually kind of like hid the drug stuff from her. We had a child a year and a half into our relationship, and then the drug addiction got really bad, and she was an atheist. I was an atheist, and I told her that if she ever left me, if I caught her cheating on me, I'd kill her, and I would have, because honestly, I was a very jealous, very insecure. All I had was me. You know, I was out there, really bad out there. And we were together for quite some time. And one day she ended up taking my daughter and leaving. And she wrote me a letter. I got the letter and I finally said, this is it. I'm done. I'm killing myself. I'm finished. And I really had like said it to do it. And I went to her stepdad's house, and I went and was getting a rifle to kill myself, and something made me open a phone book. I opened a phone book up to churches in York, Pennsylvania, and I made a check at one of these churches. And I said, if there's really a God, this would be a great time. So out of like 486 churches in the city that I live in, I went to this one, and I met this guy who's now my spiritual dad. But I met him, and he told me about righteousness. Started me out on the foundational principle that Jesus said to start out on, kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I like never got into the word. I prayed the prayer. Praying the prayer doesn't take you closer to God. Praying the prayer is essential, but the word of God will unlock your potential. So I never got in the word, so I didn't know anything about it. So I flopped around real bad. The drug addiction got worse. Now my girlfriend had come back and said I was a holy rolling hypocrite. And it was horrible. I actually went out one night on a real bad area town. My girlfriend and my daughter chased me in town. And I told them that I would follow them home, and I lost them. I went down to this real bad section and picked up this kid. And this kid had drugs on him. He was from New York City. And I was from a small town, but he was from the big town. So I picked him up, and I told him I was a cop once I had the drugs in my hand. And
I stopped my Jeep, and I told him to step out of the Jeep, put his hands on the hood. When he did, I hit the gas, and he unloaded a 9mm at me from like 10 feet away. And I heard the audible voice of God say, I took those bullets for you. Are you going to live for me yet? 3 days later, I went to Teen Challenge. My girlfriend hated me. She was so glad to get rid of me. My daughter was hurting, and all she knew was daddy's a drug addict, you know? So psychologically, immediately, we think she's got all kinds of stuff she's got to be dealt with because her dad did this and her dad did that, and which is true, unless the supernatural domination of Holy Spirit comes in and ganks that stuff out by the root. Okay? And that comes through a life lived. So I was at Teen Challenge for 2 months. The Teen Challenge program is a year long. I submitted myself completely to God 4.5 years ago, October 2004. And that's when I gave him everything I was. Because you can't live for Jesus unless you give him everything you are. And it's not an even trade. He gives you all that he is for all that you were never created to be. What's the cost? We're giving up something we were never created to be in the first place. What kind of price is that? People are like, well, you got to count the cost, but I mean, there's a cost involved. What kind of cost is that? You're giving up something you were never created to be in the first place. What is that? That's like way cool on our part, right? So I left Teen Challenge. I had a radical encounter with Jesus 3 nights in a row. He told me to go home. I went home. My girlfriend had accepted Jesus when I was in Teen Challenge. We got married 4 days later, and that was 4.5 years ago, and I have a daughter that's 12, a baby that's 2.5, and an on-fire family for God who is being redeemed because I trashed our life financially. I stole everything from our family. We had actually lived in a single-wide trailer for 12 years. We had 2 acres of land, but we didn't pay off our mortgage or anything, but we had 2 acres of land. I promised her for years and years that I would get us a house. And so God, by his grace and mercy, has us at a starting place. Now, you know, it's a financial move, but it's to the place where we're going to break ground next month and build a house on the property. And it's redemption. It's God's redemption plan, and it's all glory to Jesus. So in my short time as a Christian man, I have developed a relationship with Holy Spirit to never allow this word. I won't read my Bible just for the sake of reading this thing and saying, okay, I just want to read and just read and read and read. I won't read unless I'm asking the Holy Spirit to reveal it to my heart. Because unless he reveals it to my heart, it'll get in my brain and make my brain bigger than my heart. And I can't afford that. Because your heart has to be outweigh your brain. Way. And so I'm blessed in that area because I'm not intellectually gifted. I'm gifted in my heart. I love people. This whole thing, faith works through love, so it's all about love. When you're out there and you're praying for people and you're actually, it's all about love. Because if you're so in love with God, yourself won't rise up in the midst of a situation because you'll realize God's heart and God's love for people and you'll pray for them out of the love of God for them. If you pray for them and you're thinking that you're going to feel bad if God doesn't move, you're not praying for him, you're praying for you. So if you're going to pray for somebody and if they don't get healed, you're going to think you're going to give God a bad rap. Trust me, you can't embarrass God. He is so happy with you stepping out of the boat a little bit. He is so pleased, like so pleased. Thank God saying, well, I can't believe they misrepresented me. I actually believe my word. That's crazy. He's saying, come on, guys, you're getting it. You can do this. Come on, you can do this. Jesus says, I paid a price for you to step into the fullness. Now step in. And that's the gospel, man. That's the God we serve. He's a God of promise. He's a God of amazingness. And he made you amazing just like him. God right now is taking the spirit of ugly off of his bride. He really is. Because the bride has the spirit of ugly on her because we've misrepresented the church, misrepresented the gospel. Made it all about us and selfishness. Come on, pray this prayer. Okay, let's go on. Pray this prayer. It's not about getting people to just pray a prayer as much as it is sowing and watering seeds. Okay, because honestly, and it's not, I'm not against soul winning. Okay, what I am against is going out there and trying to get numbers. Because that's twisted. It's not about trying to get numbers. It's about trying to reach the lost for Jesus. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. So it's about reconciling people back to the Father.
Jesus said in John 17, he said, this is eternal life, going to heaven. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. He said, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one whom you have sent. So eternal life is knowing him. So we've been given the ministry of reconciling the children back to the Papa. And it all comes through love. This whole thing works through love. If you'll dare to be so in love with God and receive the love of God to the point where it overwhelms you, that you can't look at somebody without the love of God through you, you will dare to live for Jesus every day. God is love, right? If anyone says that he abides in God, he's got to abide in love, right? It's all about love. So this thing isn't about Todd trying to go and get a testimony. This is about knowing the love of God and wanting to give the lamb that was slain the righteous reward that he was slain for. God has an inheritance in the saints. We have an inheritance in him, but he has an inheritance in us. And the only way that he gets the inheritance that he's placed in us is when we glorify him and give him glory by a life lived in obedience for him. That's the key to this thing, man. Denying yourself, picking up the cross, follow him. In Revelation 12:11, it says they overcame him by. Now watch this. Watch. Right. See that I will get one or two people out of a whole congregation that knows all of it or will spout all of it off because we're so used to the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, but we're not so used to loving not our own life unto death. The key to Christianity is not loving your own life unto death. People in China accept Christ knowing that they're probably going to die for this. People in America, it's just as well, yeah, prayed that, did there, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. We need to be way more serious about discipleship and loving people. Yay. Yeah, it's really fun. It's a gospel of funness. But the gospel without power is not good news, guys. It's not. If it doesn't have the ability to transform somebody and change somebody, it's not the gospel that Jesus preached. It's not the gospel of the kingdom. And the great thing about the kingdom is the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom is in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom is in you. So when I pray for God's kingdom to come, I'm not praying for his kingdom to come. I'm praying for his kingdom to come. And I'm praying for his will to be done wherever I'm at, on earth as it is in heaven, because the kingdom resides in me and in the midst of me. Everywhere I go, God's given me because he says the sole of my foot, everywhere it treads, he's given to me. Who am I to think that if I go into a place that's dark, that light doesn't prevail? It's not a question of who turned up the darkness. It's who turned down the light. If you're the only person at your work that knows you're a Christian, something might be wrong. We might have a basket thing going on. Right? Come on. Right? I'm not being mean. This is a real deal. Jesus said, let your light shine. He didn't say, let it remain dormant. Right? We're never going to get this thing unless we deny ourselves. We cannot pick up the cross and follow him until you first deny yourself. Because if you're in the way, God can't move. We're not praying for God to move. You are the move of God. I'm looking at God's best, guys. You're God's best. You're his elect. You're the best God's got, guys. To somebody you know, you're the most amazing Christian they know. When you say you're a Christian, you automatically go right here. And people look at you and say, well, let's see. Because they want to know if you really are. They've seen a lot of talk and heard a lot of talk, but they've seen a lot less walk. I love that bumper sticker that says, less talk, more walk. Preach the gospel if you have to use words. Yay. Oh, I better stop because I'll go on till tomorrow. You guys are amazing. I love you. Bless you. Yeah. And here's whoever.